June 22nd, at least that's the original air date of this program. It's called A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Adam, of course, being I. Dr. Ron Feynman on the phone with me. As we sometimes do, we're taping this show on the previous Sunday evening because there is so much news to talk about. So I'm sure, like always, I'll forget to talk about some of the things I wanted to talk about and probably won't be covering as much of the professor's blog as I'd like to, but I'm certainly going to try. First and foremost, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. Feynman starts with an F, and so does fantastically fine father, which you are. So a happy happy Father's Day to you, father of two fine men.
Thank you very much.
We have
nice
David,
who's
about
again.
David. He's about 41, and Paul, whom I call Mini Me because he looks like kind of a shorter version of yourself. He's about 34, I believe. I'm estimating his age.
36, actually. He's 36.
Close enough. What's 2 days? What's 2 years between friends, right? So, and a happy Father's Day to Ron. A posthumous happy Father's Day to my dad, Mike, and my two grandfathers. You know, I am the only. For my maternal grandfather, Albert, I'm the only person who ever knew him as a living grandfather. He was actually deceased before my sister or my oldest cousin on that side of the family was born. So I was only.
You're the old timer of your family, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm
of your generation.
An older statesman. So, like, I was 2 or 3 years old, but what I do know is from my grandma told me that he just was crazy about me, but who wouldn't be? You know, his grandson.
Well, I must say he had bad judgment.
That's okay. He certainly had a wonderful daughter. You know, my deceased mother, and had many wonderful grandchildren. And may Albert, my maternal grandfather, rest in peace, as well as my paternal grandfather. My sister didn't know him. He passed us before she was born in the late 60s. But Herman Lepp, hope you're up there in heaven, known that you've left a good legacy. You have wonderful grandchildren to be proud of. And you were a fantastic grandfather, to say the least. Also, as I've pointed out, some photos of him, he kind of resembles me a little bit. But, again, intelligence and good looks, they're Lepp characteristics. So, you know, why?
Others might say bad genes.
why wouldn't they? So, anyway, Ron, you are the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which you write daily. And sometimes you bash Donald Trump. Sometimes you just talk in general about politics or about history and sometimes you spew forth your opinion. Now, on the last program, I probably talked 80% of the time, and it was interesting because I had a lot to say and a lot of opinions regarding this so-called pandemic, these so-called medical experts, and this junk science. And you know me, if I have something to say, I'll say it, and often we'll pepper it with a bunch of wisecracks. I'm not sure how things are going in Florida, Ron. There's been a lot of controversy and bashing and applauding of your governor, but here in Ohio, the casinos were given permission to open last Friday, and of course, what I did this past Friday, I'm going to two gyms currently, as I probably told you. So I went to the first gym because they open at 5. Then I just had a half an hour, just a quick workout. Then I drove to one of the casinos. It's about a half an hour drive, so I got there a couple minutes after they opened, and wasn't that busy, but it was 6 in the morning. You know, some people have to work at an office that time of day. I can kind of work from my phone in my car a lot of the time, so it's convenient. Also had some birthday money because my birthday was earlier in the month, and they give you some gambling money for your birthday. So I claimed that, had my free fountain drinks, played a few of the one-armed bandits, and I went to the second casino, figuring I would increase my herd immunity. Interestingly, Ron, the self-service fountain drinks that they have at both Columbus casinos, they're still there. I would see a lot of germs being spread from self-service fountain drinks and self-service coffee. It says to get a new cup every time, but no one really does that. And the buffets are closed.
It's your own cup, though. It's not somebody you're sharing with.
Yeah, but I mean, you've still got your lips on, and when you put it on the lever, your germs are transferring.
We don't dirty lips.
I mean, but yet the buffet is closed. So does it make any sense to you that the buffet is closed? But the fountain drinks are still open. You can get your own coffee, get your own fountain drinks. Even if you've put your lips to the glass, you still put it against the lever. Or you put it somewhere
only
in the area.
If you're in a buffet, what if you sneeze near the food?
Yeah.
Or you cough near the food?
What if you sneeze or cough near the coffee? You know, you cough near the coffee.
It's your cup. It's not a general area of a buffet where people all get the food in the same place. You know what I'm trying to say?
But you're going to the same place to get the fountain drinks. You put either you True. Use the lever or you press the button to get the fountain drinks, and germs are being transferred. So I don't really see the logic. I mean, I've been using self-service fountain drinks and going to buffets for a long time, and if I figured if they were really bad, I would have died 30 years ago. Now, granted, I think with my my lifestyle, my immune system is pretty good, and you get used to it. It's part of that herd immunity where if you surround yourself with, you know, not a lot, but just a modest amount of these impurities, you know, what I call the cooties, because that's kind of what it sounds like, then you're more likely to have a tolerance. Tolerance works on a lot of things. Now, this isn't the best analogy, but for example, people who drink a lot, they have a higher tolerance to alcohol. Doesn't mean that they should be driving. I don't want to say that for 1 minute, that an experienced drinker can have a six-pack and drive a car after spending an hour drinking it. I'm not saying that they should do that, but I'm saying other than the kind of the way that alcohol affects you with respect to reaction time and things that are necessary when driving, you don't necessarily feel it. You seem more like the same person you normally are if you drink all the time versus someone who doesn't drink a lot. And that happens in a lot of things. You get used to something. I mean, I get used to going to the gym. My muscles don't ache anymore. You know, no pain, no gain. So if my muscles don't ache, I wonder if I'm really working out. But I think it's just because I've gotten in good shape. So you get a tolerance to something, whether it's a good item like exercising, you know, something like overindulging in alcohol or other substances, and kind of a similar situation with impurities, with, again, viruses, bacteria, cooties, whatever you want to call it. So where do you draw that line? Well, granted, a lot of it is luck. But as I see it, Ron, I've lost track of the number of times that I've been to the gym ever since they reopened. You know, both casinos, multiple restaurants, karaoke in two different cities at least two different bars, and about half a dozen bars just to sit and have a drink and socialize, and I feel okay. So the chance that I've not been exposed, the chance that I've been exposed is pretty close to 100%. I don't see how I couldn't be exposed. Now, am I lucky? Have I acquired herd immunity? Or by some weird coincidence, have I not been exposed? I would say it's a combination of just good health, good immunity. I think a positive attitude helps also. Well, you don't want to sit there thinking the world's going to end. Combined with the herd immunity, where just having these moderate doses help you develop a tolerance, and that's what I see as my statistics training and my real science knowledge, my real understanding of how these kind of things work, versus the junk science that say just stay at home, you know, shut the doors, live as far away from society as possible. Yet your immunity just keeps decreasing. And it's also the fact that even if you're socially awkward like I am, people are social animals. And it's not healthy just to be there cooped up in the house, especially during the spring when this whole debacle started. So that's how I see it. I understand that there are different scenarios. As I've said, I don't want to downplay the fact this is a very serious issue, but there are serious diseases floating around all the time between international travel, people not really taking care of themselves, and also people just not following regular common sense and real science versus junk science. But you have to kind of play it, day by day, and that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I wanted to intervene because you said I'm supposed to say something.
Oh yeah, I'm done. I'm done with that tirade.
Yeah, situation here in Florida. It is actually much worse because the number of cases has skyrocketed the last week. And the number of people who have died has grown, so we seem to be, supposedly we're becoming the new New York, New Jersey, is what many people say, and yet everything is opening up, and, you know, and that's the issue that it's hard to know. So I'm still staying, avoiding going, I mean, I go shopping, but I haven't gone to any restaurant, I get food delivered, but, you know, but I don't go to a restaurant, and, you know, I just go food shopping or to the drugstore, and that's about it, you know, otherwise, you know, I'm out in the open walking, but I'm not doing anything else right now because the number is growing. It's like 4,000 cases yesterday.
Yeah. It's regionalized, but you also would have to agree, Ron. Depends if people are being tested. And you may be tested, you may be positive.
There's a new test now. Somebody told me they had a test. You went to the doctor and you spit into a cup, and in 24 hours they know from spitting in a cup. I knew what I never heard of that.
My question remains. It's been 3 weeks.
Have you heard that? You have not heard about
that. Yeah, that's how a DNA test works. They use your
Well, I thought they had to do it up your nose, because a friend of mine had it done up his nose all the way up where it hurts, but now they're doing spitting. So you're saying spitting is legitimate?
I would think it's fine. When I took a DNA test, that's what I did. So I don't see an issue with that. The nose test is fairly painful.
Yes. That's why I'd be willing to, even though I haven't done, I'd be willing to have a test for spit, but I'm not really anxious to have a nose test. That's no fun.
I would say that more people are being tested, and you may be positive but have no symptoms, or you can kind of be a carrier. I still wonder, Ron, it's been over 3 weeks since these riots downtown Columbus and many of the major cities in this country. The number of cases in Ohio has not increased very much. So, Ron, myself and others have joked that this virus kind of hibernates during riots, and it's most active in bars, restaurants, hair salons, gyms, county and state fairs. I mean, maybe it is, or maybe it's a case where people are catching it. I'm sure that from the riots, hundreds of people caught it, but do they have any symptoms, and are they taking a test? A lot of it is based upon, are people getting tested, and are you a carrier versus somebody who has a positive result, and are you symptomatic? And if symptomatic, do you have what's like the common cold, or do you have something very serious requiring a hospital visit? And everybody is, of course, a little bit different. And we found that unless there's a comorbidity, diabetes, heart disease, serious lung condition, and you're young and healthy, and young means under 70 or 80. It doesn't even mean, 20 or 30. It means, upper middle age and below, that it will likely be similar to the flu or the common cold, and you'll recover. But again, every situation is different. And again, there are 30-year-old people that work out every day that do get very sick from it. But that
some
is going to happen.
At that age, too. It's a shocking thing.
Yeah.
Some teenagers have died off. Not many, but there have been some.
And they've said the novel coronavirus, because it is unknown. But the coronavirus, the cold is a form of the coronavirus. And how much do we know about the cold? There's no cure for it. You just deal with it. And most people, you just have it for a couple days, and you recover, and you get back to your normal routine. So is it really anything more serious than this mysterious common cold? Just more serious, especially in some people. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, though, I heard or read that in Ohio the cases were going up and that he was reconsidering the governor. Is that true? I saw an article that said that.
Not from the statistics that I'm seeing, but we'll find out.
Casinos. He was concerned that it was not as good as it was, so he was taking it under advisement, is what I read. Unless I read wrong, but on here, on the internet,
Well, thankfully, Dr. Quackton, as I call her, is no longer the health department person. So the advisors are certainly made up of different people, which I would say I'm pretty thrilled about. The casinos, Ron, they have an older clientele, especially Scioto Downs, the first one that I went to. So I'd be interested in seeing if that's going to increase the number of cases. I think older people are more likely to get tested, and the doctor is more likely to take a more exhaustive look at some symptoms and complications. So I'll be interested in seeing what might transpire. I think we might be a little bit pleasantly surprised, but we shall see. So
all I know is, as of today, 120,000 have died, more than World War One, which was a year and a half of our involvement, not 4 months. That's just a point to bring up. 120,000, which is the First World War.
Even you agree somewhat that doctors and health places, hospitals, clinics are being paid to put down that coronavirus is the cause of death. Maybe not being paid directly, but getting more supplies or getting a better payment from the insurance company.
I'm not sure that's correct, but that's what I gather. Yeah.
Many times there are multiple causes, and perhaps COVID did increase the death or make the illness more serious. But that could happen in a lot of different scenarios. So whether these deaths are really from coronavirus versus you're talking about number of people passing in a war, well, the war would have been the only reason why they perished. With respect to this, the coronavirus might be a contributing factor. Many times with death, there are contributing factors. You may have had high blood pressure, and that contributed to another disease that you had. It's a bit complicated. So are these exclusively these 100,000+ cases, are these really 100% coronavirus caused? Well, kind of depends how you look at it. Again, I'm not saying that this isn't very serious, something we need to address and hopefully eradicate permanently, but it's being twisted by the media and by some people that may have medical degrees but are not practicing medicine in the most intelligent fashion. Let's put it that way. Certainly the media is having quite a circus with these events. And you can take that as good or take it as bad. I'd like to think the media, Ron, would help get this problem eradicated, but I think they're making it worse, and they're kind of colluding with some of the medical people in over-dramatizing and trying to scare people. I don't know how
but
you
what
think
about of, though, Donald Trump under-dramatizing and basically ignoring what's going on? Do you think that's good? I don't.
I think Donald is being complacent because, like me, he doesn't think that it's quite as bad as they're making it out to be, and there are other things to worry about. And I think if we continue to see the reduction in cases with more people going out and about, it's going to make Donald look very good. However, the media is trying to make him look bad. CNN, you know, the coronavirus news network, as I call it, they are twisting things and more than I've seen in previous years.
To make think about it, though. If they were to do the opposite and make it like it's not a big deal, and it was a big deal, would they be criticized for having underestimated? So they can't win no matter what they do. Is that true?
That's kind of how media is. There will always be people that are critical. But I think CNN is going...
It sounds like they've been accused. They didn't realize something until it was too late, the many things that came up. This time they're overreacting, maybe. But whether you're under or over, you're always going to be attacked.
Well, you never know.
And they didn't do it right.
Hindsight is 20/20, Ron, and we will never know. But if it looks
we'll
like...
We'll know one day. But it'll go over. We'll probably be able to analyze if they overreact or underreact. Why don't they under... I'm saying as many times when you have to wonder, you know.
But if it looks like Donald took the right approach by saying, let's get back to business, it's going to make him look good. And it's going to make the liberal-leaning media not look good. And he's going to win the election. That combined with Joe Biden's choice of VP... It's going to have a big effect. That includes myself, as I'm waiting to see whom Joe Biden selects before deciding whom to vote for. I'd rather vote for Biden, but if it's not someone I like, my lever will not be pressing his name, or I won't be pressing him on the touch screen, or whatever they're going to do.
Well, you know the list of the potential African-American women. So which ones other than Harris do you not accept?
Name the people for me, Ron, because you know them better than
I
do.
Right. The National Security Advisor, UN Ambassador under Obama.
Yeah, I don't know much about her, but she seems attractive to me, but I would need to find out
very
more
good in foreign policy. That's a big issue. Nobody has a foreign policy background. Yeah. She has.
Yeah.
Not even Harris.
I would certainly have to research her, but she seems to be a serviceable candidate.
What about Stacey Abrams?
No way.
No, I honestly don't think she's qualified. She has never held statewide office. Yeah, that's true.
And she's just way too liberal, and I'm not comfortable with her. And she and Biden wouldn't get along. She's too liberal.
So about Stacey Abrams?
Yeah, that's not a good combination.
Yeah, what about Mayor Bottoms? What a name. The mayor of Atlanta.
Yeah, I'll pass on her also. I'm not pleased with the way that she's handling things.
What about the Orlando congresswoman? At the moment I can't think of her name, but the Orlando congresswoman who was the Orlando police chief. I don't know, I can't think of the name right now. I'd have to look it up. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, she might be attractive. I'd have to look at her qualifications, but I don't see Bottoms or Abrams on that ticket. If they're picked, there's no way Biden's going to win. He might as well just pack it in right now if he picks one of them. And I think he might, though, because he's being made to feel guilty.
Demings. That's who. Val Demings is a congressman.
I think she has her attractive points, so maybe we would pick her. I would have to learn about her, but I think I could live with her. So anyway,
you're eliminating three people.
Correct.
Including the mayor of Atlanta, you said, right?
It doesn't matter, because if he picks one of those three, he's not going to win. I could just go ahead and stay home. Because it wouldn't even be close. I would agree with you that Demings is, of those six, Demings is the most intelligent, most mainstream choice. I have no problem with her. At least I don't have a lot of knowledge about her, but what I've seen, I think I like. So I think I can very much live with her as the choice, and I think she could possibly result in a victory. So right now, Ron, as we talk, as I said, we're taping this on the prior evening, Sunday. First full day of summer, 21st of June, 2020. People are in the great downtown of Columbus protesting. And the problem is that they're not doing it peacefully. They're claiming to do it peacefully, but they're standing, bicycling, shouting in the middle of Broad and Hyde, the center of town, the center of the great state of Ohio, probably saying things we can't say on the air. And if necessary, the police are using pepper spray or other methods to control it, and people are complaining and saying that the police chief and the mayor should resign. The problem is, Ron, these people think they're protesting peacefully, and if that is peaceful protesting, then let me make an analogy. If that is peaceful protesting, then, well, I can't think of a better analogy than Karen Pence is going to win the Miss America contest, which, of course, she isn't going to. Would you agree with me, Ron, that peaceful.
I don't know. I'm trying to find out more about Columbus. I don't live there. I don't know how serious is the demonstration. You're telling me it's
well,
bad,
if you've driven through downtown like I have and seen boarded up windows and words beginning with F that have four letters with the word police following them and other things that we don't want to say on the radio, you would probably tend to believe that these are not peaceful protesters. And it doesn't look very good for this city. And when people are complaining, crying like a two-year-old toddler because it's his bedtime or something, that the police are using this force to stop people from blocking the street, which would also include blocking ambulances and fire trucks if there is something that they need to attend to, then they're not being peaceful. They're not quite as bad as breaking windows and vandalizing, but it's not good. Peaceful protesting doesn't involve blocking roads, which again includes blocking emergency vehicles and emergency personnel, and saying things that you shouldn't
say on
the radio.
I agree on that. Absolutely, yes.
And really, it's really kind of shameful. And when somebody tells someone who posts something about this on social media that it's not good, that it's not peaceful, the person snaps back with an attitude. So it's really a shame what the world is coming to. I really like to think I'm proud to live in this state and live in America, but I tell you, Ron, it's hard sometimes, but I certainly try. You know, I try to be as patriotic as possible. But I tell you, I have to grapple with myself a few times. Since we've also talked...
Well, I don't believe in anybody having signs saying F the police, that kind of thing. Absolutely don't. And I don't believe in breaking windows and doing damage. There's no excuse for that, no matter what.
Well, I would certainly hope not, Ron.
Yeah.
But... Also, since we've talked, and there's been a lot of comedy about this.
It's not progressive, some people.
Well, that's not progressive. That's criminal. There's a difference.
Yes.
Basically, Ron, I differentiate between intellectual liberals like yourself and snowflake wackos, which include, and even snowflake wackos is different from criminals. And there are also criminal snowflake wackos. And those are the people that vandalize, that block the roads. That's getting into criminal behavior. So that actually is two steps over. And I'm sure you would agree.
And unfortunately, it does help promote Donald Trump by doing that.
Without
it doesn't harm him.
And that's why, that's why I intend to believe, except for a good campaign and a good VP choice from Biden, that we're going to have Donald Trump as president until January 20th of 2025, or at least have someone in the Pence and Trump administration. But we shall see, shall we?
Every poll shows Biden way ahead. Even the Fox News poll shows him 12 points ahead, which just shocked Trump, of course. So,
right. Well, Hillary
it is amazing.
Hillary was ahead, not by as much, I know, but the VP choice.
Of course, had more baggage.
The VP choice here is so important because Biden has early stage Alzheimer's or dementia. I really question his mortality. And I think the VP is the more important person. We know what we're getting with Biden. We know he's a good man, a little creepy, but what politician isn't, right? And we know where he stands. I mean, he's very moderate. Most people are going to believe in most of what he has to say, myself and Ron included. But his mortality is a concern. The strength of his mind is a concern. And so he better pick a good VP
candidate. I would argue the strength of the mind of Trump is also a concern, the way he behaves. So they both have that issue, I think.
Right. But he has a VP who's 61, in very good health. Granted, there are things about Mike Pence that repulse me, but there are things about him that I really like. So you have to take a look at the good and the bad. I'd rather look at the glass being half full. So again,
you really want to have Cameron Pence as first lady, though?
Oh, I don't have to look at her, do I? We would certainly go from the prettiest first lady to the ugliest first lady. I'll put it there. We go from the most outspoken, most educated. Although Michelle Obama obviously ties with Hillary for that. So, but Hillary was the first most educated first lady. So this would be kind of interesting. We go from the most educated first lady to the most muscular first lady, yeah, to the prettiest first lady, to the most unattractive first lady. Or if
I want somebody educated first lady, yes, but Hillary and Michelle. But you got to look and say, this is just interesting trivia. Who's the first lady who had a college 4-year degree? Rutherford Hayes's wife, Lucy, in the 1870s. She was the first college first lady, and she was a feminist and a suffragette too at that time.
Of course, if
interesting,
Biden wins. Dr. Jill Biden would become the most educated first lady.
Oh, she's wonderful.
But yeah, I like her, and she's easy on the eyes too. I tell you, she's very few of my professors were as pretty as she is. I'll say that much. She ages very well, and not nice blonde hair also. And underneath that blonde.
Let me ask you a question. What about if the thing that people say will never happen happens? What if Joe picks Michelle Obama as his running mate?
Well, you know, Michelle Obama is interesting, Ron, because I have actually really changed my opinion about her. I actually now like her. Now, I wasn't pleased that she had her own staff. She had a lot of expenses when she was first lady, but I don't want to be hypocritical because Donald Trump and Melania, they have a lot of unnecessary expenses like all their golf trips and all that other stuff. So I don't want to be hypocritical. Yeah. But granted, she did seem to have a lot of staff and a lot of vacations. However, I do think as a fellow physical, you know, she and I are almost the same age, as a fellow physical fitness expert and advocate, I think she is a good role model for that. I mean, muscular arm jokes aside, she does speak well for staying in shape, and she encourages that among children, among adults. She favors literacy. She favors nutrition, not eating hamburgers and junk for school lunches, but getting nutritious school lunches. Plus, she's kind of cool. She and the girls snuck out that one night, remember, and went out in the town or something when he wasn't supposed to. So she's kind of cool. So I have changed my opinion about her.
Daughters really look good now. Now that they're fully grown up, they look so like awkward at times. Now they really look very good, both of them, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't find Michelle or the girls attractive, but that's okay. She's not unattractive. I mean, you know, she presents herself well. I just don't think she's overly attractive. She's not unattractive, but I'm looking at her because she is very intelligent. She speaks her mind in a ladylike way, but also in a intelligent way. So you may be totally shocked. I actually like Michelle Obama, and I have no problem with her being VP, but I don't think she wants the job.
But let's say she agreed to do it, and she has to take over because Joe can't finish. How do you feel about a president, Michelle Obama? That's what you realize.
I think she could be president. She would have a pretty good advisor, and I don't. Like with Hillary, I see her a bit to the right of Obama. We have these first ladies like both Bushes and Mrs. Ford, who, of course, and even Nancy Reagan to an extent, who are
to the left,
especially Betty Ford and Barbara Bush, quite a bit to the left of their husbands. But I think that's common with first ladies. They all kind of tend to be to the middle. So I see, because Obama's, to me, he's very much to the left. I see Michelle being quite a bit to the right of Obama.
But she would have a husband as an advisor, remember?
Yeah, but she would still make the decision. So, you know, I have really changed my opinion about her. I'm not saying, you know, I'm crazy about her, but I do kind of like her. She kind of grows on you, and I think she's better just out of office and out of the spotlight. You kind of realize there are things about her that are attractive, and she's smart enough to know what she knows about, what she doesn't know about, and I think she could very well be a good leader.
And get this, that she probably has sold more books than anybody ever has of their memoirs.
Yeah.
Amazing how many books she sold, you know?
I really kind of pinched myself, but, I didn't like the fact that she took all those vacations and she had all these staff people when she was in office. But, you know, Donald takes too many golf trips, so I don't want to be hypocritical. I think Michelle could be in politics, and she is very smart, and she and I have a lot of the same causes we believe in. And I don't see her as being as liberal as Barack, so that's a good thing.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You don't want Harris, but let's say he picks Harris, Joe Biden, and they win, and then for some reason Harris has to become president. Would you be absolutely mortified that she became president, or you think you might look at her differently in the emergency if she had to take over?
I'd be mortified because she supports open borders, and that's not what this country is built upon. I'd be mortified. Now, yes, she is attractive, she is smart, but she's dangerous, and I make no bones about that.
Hmm.
I would rather have Pence, who certainly has some social conservative views that are not consistent with my views, but at least, in my opinion, they're not as dangerous as Harris. So, you asked a question,
well,
I answered it.
Evangelical right is dangerous, and that's what he is. That's what worries me. Well, I would not want him.
Right. Well, they both have their repulsive qualities, don't they? So you have to kind of pick which one you
Joe
can.
Joe doesn't really have repulsive qualities. You know, he's not perfect, but he pretty much is a decent, likable guy, isn't he? With a good background.
The good outweighs the bad, yes. So yeah. Since we've been talking, Ron, this has been another topic, and it's comical, mainly because it's so ridiculous. We have the statues, and we have the brands, the Aunt Jemima, the Uncle Ben's rice, the Eskimo pies. Are you with me that this is one of the most ridiculous things you ever heard in your life? Or is there actually some basis for this? Is the word, is the
sensitivity? I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other, whether they change it or they keep it. But one thing that worries me is I can see taking down the statues of Confederate leaders in public and putting them in museums, Confederate leaders. And I can see the forts that are named after them being changed to more modern, you know, military people in the two world wars, Korea, etc. But the thought, I hear there's some statues of Jefferson and Washington are being attacked. I know they were slave owners, but they were not Confederates. If we're going to start saying slavery is the issue, then, my God, and even race, then we can say, well, LBJ was a racist until he wasn't, and FDR wasn't very good on the issue of Jews, and you could attack every president almost in some way.
Right. I like the idea of moving statues from public view to a museum if they directly honor something associated with the Confederacy.
Yes, there is a Confederate museum in Richmond, and there are others, and that's fine. I don't think you should destroy them, but they should not be maybe in a public park. Confederate, I'm talking about, not others,
right.
But all the presidents who were slave owners who were not Confederate, that's going much too far, I think. You know,
no, that's one of the most intelligent views I've heard versus the snowflake wacko views, which often are snowflake wacko vandal views because people are vandalizing these statues.
That's not acceptable. That's horrible.
Now, what about the Christopher Columbus thing, that there are two Christopher Columbus statues being removed in Columbus, and people are wanting to change the name of Columbus? Now, what do you think about that?
I would say, I don't know. I really was not aware of so much negative stuff about Columbus until recently, and it is disturbing, but I don't know. I think it is going too far, really, and certainly to do destruction to statues is ridiculous. As far as cities being named after him, like Ohio and Georgia, I know there's a Columbus, Georgia, I still think that's going a little too far, yes.
Now, we've talked about...
Doesn't mean I approve. You can disapprove of Columbus or of Washington being a slave owner and teach about it and promote it and talk about it, but you don't destroy the fact that they were historic figures.
Okay. We've talked about settlers versus hijackers, and you and I agree, Ron. We weren't there. We're not that old, but we agree, and you especially, being a history scholar. I mean, I don't know enough. You know, I'm a goofy history major, but you're a scholar. You certainly are an expert, perhaps one of the biggest experts in the whole world on this.
Well, I don't know that. Thank you, though.
Well, you're certainly up there. But you would say confidently that Columbus and his people, the pilgrims, were settlers. They didn't hijack the land. They may have done a few underhanded things. Again,
Columbus is stepping for the pilgrims. He's from Spain. Pilgrims are English, remember.
Right, but the people that settled, regardless of whether it's Columbus or all the pilgrims, I mean, people that came to this country in some fashion.
From different nations in Europe, yeah.
But they were settlers. They didn't kill the Indians and take their land and just decide, well, they're useless. We're going to go ahead and hijack everything. It wasn't quite that way. Now, granted, some of them were nicer than others. But to go ahead and think that Columbus just stole the land and that he killed people, that's a stretch. But as a historian, Ron, what's your take on that?
Well, also, Columbus was never in the United States, in what we call North America. He was in the Bahamas, places like that, so it's more that he was involved in exploration of the hemisphere. So it's not really a U.S. territory area that's involved with Columbus. So I think it is overkill to say that you should just change everything named after him and get rid of the statues. And if you're going to, let's say, take down statues, if you feel you must, put them in good shape in museums for people to see, not destroy them, certainly.
So these people need to take a history course. They didn't even settle here in the United States.
No, they did not. No, the pilgrims did, but I'm talking about Columbus did not.
My understanding is the pilgrims first landed near Provincetown, Massachusetts, at the end of Cape Cod, not actually on...
1620, yes.
What about the pilgrims?
Of course, Jamestown was the 1607 Virginia settlement, the first English settlement.
Were the pilgrims as guilty as Columbus? Did they steal the land and kill the Indians? What's their story?
There were wars that developed. There's no question about it. So I'm not an expert on everything about pilgrims. But I would say that they were certainly bad apples, I guess you'd say, and there was some killing. But again, you got to also think that when you think about it, yes, as you call them, the whites, I guess you'll call them the whites from Europe or England, they came over and some of them were aggressive, but it doesn't mean all the Native Americans were peace-oriented. They probably didn't want these intruders as they saw them coming in and becoming an area to contest with them. So I think both sides are evil of murder and destruction.
They're settlers on undeveloped land. The Indians didn't own the land. It's not the same as someone coming to my house, my 0.23 acres that I own in suburban Columbus. And
0.23, you said?
It's about 0.23 acres. It's not a lot.
About one-fourth of an acre. Okay.
Somebody coming to my backyard, pitching a tent, setting up a toilet and bringing their clothes in the refrigerator and saying, Adam, I live here, so get out or I'm going to kill you. That isn't what happened. Because it's not the same situation.
Well, they may have set up the toilet. That they might have.
But that's what they're making it sound like. And I don't see that at all. And I take that as an insult because I'm proud to live in Columbus. It's a great city. And you're insulting its namesake. Christopher Columbus wasn't perfect. But you know what? George Washington wasn't either. Donald Trump isn't. Obama wasn't. Even Hillary Clinton, who I just love so much, she isn't perfect. So it is insulting. And even though I'm hardly a historical expert, these people need to read a history book or keep their lip buttoned, as far as I'm concerned, as it really is ridiculous. So you would be with me, Ron. Don't destroy statues of Christopher Columbus, especially in the city of Columbus.
Maybe if Israel objectors put some in a museum, maybe don't have them all in public squares. But certainly, you can't just destroy that Columbus is significant, no.
And don't change the name of the city. Should we continue to celebrate Columbus Day? Because even Columbus, the city, doesn't celebrate it anymore. Should we continue to celebrate Columbus Day? Does Christopher Columbus deserve a holiday?
I'm like mixed on. I could say yes and no. I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I don't think it matters that much. But many areas, they call it Indigenous People's Day, they call it, in some areas of the country.
So kind of undecided, but you would agree that people are going way too far and also pretending to be experts on history when they really aren't. So
yes, and they are much, and the violence and the destruction is absolutely not acceptable in any circumstance.
Now, you and I have both heard that Uncle Ben's rice, Aunt Jemima pancake syrup, Eskimo pies, that there are people that think those are horrible, racist, terrible names for products, and the makers have decided to change the name of those items. What do you think about that?
Well, I think more than the name is the fact they have those images of a black woman and a black man. Maybe get rid of the images, but I don't know necessarily about changing the name. But I think the images maybe should be gone, yes.
What is wrong with the fact that Uncle Ben is black? Rice is healthy. Rice is a natural product that people eat every day. Uncle Ben is a distinguished-looking picture. Why? What is wrong with the fact that he's black?
Well, nothing's wrong with it. But I think in the case of Sarah, of Aunt Jemima, it's a stereotype, I think, of black women. I think people see it that way.
But Uncle Ben, though, what's the objection? What's the objection to a distinguished-looking black man?
I don't know what's the problem with it.
As Uncle Ben,
I hadn't heard about Eskimo Pie before. That's a new one. I hadn't heard about that.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Well,
it's going too far. Unfortunately, there's a right to bring some reform and change, but the way they do it, they only make more people on the right more hateful, and they actually embolden Donald Trump. That's the problem.
You took the words out of my mouth. Remember when I told you previously that one of the things I love about Mike Pence is he said political correctness is ruining the world? Again, he's hyperbolizing, but this is an example of that. Look what political correctness, which isn't very correct, look what it's doing. It's getting ridiculous. Eskimo is not an offensive word. It honors the fact that there are these wonderful people in Alaska that we're proud to say are fellow citizens. Eskimo is not offensive. I don't think it is. And it's ridiculous. And I don't see what's offensive about Uncle Ben. I think Uncle Ben is great. Rice is healthy. Uncle Ben is a distinguished-looking man. What is wrong with that? Now, Aunt Jemima is controversial. Is it about this woman who went from being a slave to being very rich? She was a spokesperson.
Yes.
Is it about her? Is it not about her?
You could say that.
There's been controversy about whether that's a true story, whether or not her great-grandson actually is offended by this. Who knows? It's something that will be argued about for a long time. But for now, I give the benefit of the doubt to the legacy of the woman known as Aunt Jemima. And I don't like the idea of erasing history.
Yeah, I also heard that there were some places, some theaters that no longer will allow Gone with the Wind, the movie, to be shown because it is seen as a racist film, the way it portrays Reconstruction of the South after the Civil War. But that's the greatest film, most watched film of all time, you know?
That's what happens, Ron. You could find something objectionable to these so-called politically correct because they're actually very politically incorrect. Snowflake wackos, and I said it, okay?
Called Gone with the Wind, a period piece showing one viewpoint of Reconstruction, maybe not the one we accept now, but see what other people were thinking at the time they produced the film. You know, I think it's part of learning history to see what the other side sees, you know?
Also, without checking Google, didn't the first black female actress to win an Oscar win it for Gone with the Wind? If I'm not mistaken, that's also part of the movie's legacy. So,
yes.
Many things that are being destroyed that the radical left is promoting, not the left that
I'm
you
not
represent.
I'm sure it's going to actually destroy because I think after a period of calm, it may go away. I don't think all this is actually going to occur. I think it's happening now, but I think things will calm down, and I don't think it'll be all of this permanently changed. I don't think.
Let's hope so. But we do agree that this actually helps Donald Trump. And
yes, although every poll shows no chance at all. And what he did yesterday, what he did on Saturday in Tulsa was a disaster. Only about 6,000 people instead of 20,000. And he was ranting and raving like a maniac. So I think he hurts himself more than anything these other people were doing.
We were going to talk about it, but of course, thanks to your opinions and my opinions, both of which are strong, but I think important, we've run out of time. Isn't that a shame? But
yeah, well, we can talk about it next week.
We shall return next time. Good discussion, Ron. Again, we agree on a lot of this stuff. We're both pretty, I think we both had it with this so-called political correctness, which isn't very correct. And even if we agreed with it, we have other things to worry about, things that I think are more important.
Well, certainly the whole issue of racial violence that goes on in certain quarters among some cops, plus the economy, plus the, of course, the COVID-19 virus, yeah.
But later on Sunday, I definitely going to work out for the second time. I might go to karaoke. I might go to a friend's house he's got like a pool party barbecue. And I might even go to the casino as I want to increase my herd immunity. I feel like I'm a cow in a herd, but that's okay. But thanks again, Dr. Ron Feinman, for being with us on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Again, folks, be sure to visit Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Go to the History
News Network.
Also, historynewsnetwork.org
under my name, Ronald L. Feinman. Yes.
Be sure to like The Progressive Professor on Facebook. And last but not least, if you'd like to tell me what you think about my show, good, bad, or indifferent, use our private email server and send me a correspondence to adam@wwgh1071.com.